Hey, this is This Week in Self-Hosted. I'm your host, Ethan. You may notice that I am flying solo this week. I did have Daniel, the developer maintainer of Link Warden, which is a bookmarking application and platform that recently released a fairly large update, coordinated to join me today. Unfortunately, we had some issues with his connection while recording and couldn't get a stable audio and video recording. So unfortunately, you are stuck with just me for this week. I will make sure I have another guest lined up for next week, so this feels a little more conversational, hoping I can add enough color commentary to this week's newsletter to still make watching and listening to this week's episode worthwhile. So with that being said, as usual, have a lot going on in this week's newsletter. Want to jump right into it, kicking off with the news. Fortunately, did have received some unfortunate news this week regarding T-Tech. If you followed self-hosted news or the newsletter at all in the last couple of weeks, you're aware that T-Tech, the maintainer of the well-known GitHub repository with Proxmox helper scripts, which is a hypervisor, scripts help people easily spin things up and perform actions that might otherwise take a little time, research, and knowledge to be able to spin up. Unfortunately, T-Tech passed after having been in hospice the last week or two. I've linked to a discussion on the GitHub repository. His wife hopped on and shared the unfortunate news of his passing. Similar to prior weeks, I'm going to drop some donation links in the video description, or description of the, if you're listening to this via podcast, if you'd like to financially support his family and what they're going through. T-Tech and his contribution to the community was huge. I think it enabled a lot of people to maybe do some things and run some applications that they might not have otherwise been able to do. And so really grateful for that. Grateful for the community that has picked up this project. You'll see on the screen share that I've actually linked. The discussion is actually in the new community scripts repo for the Proxmox helper scripts, where the community has now decided to come together as a whole to take on the project and maintain it, now that T-Tech will no longer be around. So unfortunate news there. A couple other things happening in the self-hosted world this week. The other thing I wanted to call out newsworthy was the new GIMP release that dropped this week. And I think it was actually just a beta for the upcoming release. GIMP is one of those applications. It's a desktop application, so borderline whether or not it can be classified as self-hosted. But essentially, it is a very, very viable Photoshop alternative for people who aren't interested in buying into the suite of Adobe products that come with the subscription that are no longer able to be paid for a version product. And so GIMP is probably the most popular alternative to Photoshop. I've used it a couple times myself. Release this week was fairly large. Dropped version 3.0, especially notable because, as you might notice if you read the actual article itself, GIMP has been on version 2.0 since 2004. So it's been a very long time since the application has received an update. And so this is fairly large, especially given all of the progress Photoshop has seen in the last couple of years as Adobe's worked on that to enhance that. So if you're not using it, but are looking for Photoshop functionality, I would definitely recommend checking this out. I mean, if you are using it, you can look forward in the coming weeks to a significant release that'll hopefully make your life even easier as you work on those projects that you would normally rely on Photoshop for. Jumping into software updates, a lot going on as usual. Again, as I had mentioned, I previously lined up Daniel, the Link Warden maintainer, on this week's episode because Link Warden actually dropped a fairly significant release this week. If you're not familiar with Link Warden, it's a bookmarking service / save it for later, something akin to maybe a Pocket or now Omnivore, which is no longer self-hosted. And the reason I bring this up is because of Omnivore specifically. If you've been following along the last couple of weeks, Omnivore is another well-known self-hosted platform for this functionality. It was recently acquired. They announced they're sunsetting the Omnivore platform and rolling it into the parent's existing application. And so there's been a lot of chatter in the community as far as, hey, if I'm using Omnivore, where do I go now? What other platforms exist? And so we've talked about a couple of them in the past couple of weeks. Hoarder's a great one, Redact, LinkedIn. Linkboarden is another very popular one. And it's one of the few platforms that when I see it pop up in the community, I rarely see people talking negatively about it. It always has very positive reception. Releases are frequent, constantly adding new features. And so this week they dropped V2.8 with a lot of cool custom things, customization things happening. And to my understanding, they're also preparing and starting to build the foundation for more features to help those who might have been using Omnivore before. And so even though it's not present in this release, Daniel did confirm with me that they're working on AI tagging. If you have a lot of links and don't necessarily have the time or bandwidth to go through and tag everything yourself every time you save a link or add a bookmark. And they're also working on support for Omnivore imports. So if you're an Omnivore user and you're interested in using something like Linkboarden, I'll jump to the README of the repository just so we can see some of the screenshots of what it looks like. If you're interested in pivoting to something like this, but have a lot of articles saved in Omnivore, rest assured, if you're interested in Linkboarden, just be patient, wait maybe a couple weeks, and they should have some functionality that'll help you and automatically import your content into Linkboarden so you don't have to do that manually. Moving forward with some other big updates. So this week's content spotlight, which is later down in the newsletter, is actually on ByteStash, which also had a significant software update this week. If you're not familiar with ByteStash, it is essentially a platform that allows you to easily store and reference code snippets. So if you've built some functionality or written some code that you want to save for later, you think you'll reuse, you would store it in a solution like ByteStash for easy ingestion or discovery later when you're referring back to things. Notably, in this week's release, they included the ability to share snippets, which I think is super interesting and probably pretty vital to people who are using this. If you're writing code and write snippets that are worth saving, I can imagine most people would probably want to share them at some point. The other notable thing that they dropped in this update is this idea, or what they're calling fragments, essentially where you can store code in multiple languages. So if you write functionality for something and you pivot to a different language, another application, you can still leverage that same code snippet, even though you might have originally implemented it in another code language. Also notable, I wanted to call it ListMonk, is a newsletter platform for people who are frequently sending bulk mail to people. Doesn't necessarily need to be a formal newsletter to leverage it, but that's what most people use it for. Thought this was worth calling out because all self-hosters love single sign-on and things like OpenID Connect authentication, which ListMonk dropped support for this week. And actually, in conjunction with single sign-on and things like OIDC, this came alongside multi-user support in the update as well. Prior to this update, ListMonk was pretty much built for single user instances. This is no longer the case. And so along with that comes some cool authentication features as well. And then lastly, there were a couple no-code database updates that dropped this week that I thought were interesting. If you're not familiar with things like Baserow or NocoDB, they are essentially Airtable alternatives where they're platforms that plug into a backend database like Postgres or MySQL, but allow users to play with the data as if it were almost like a spreadsheet-like interface. And so I'll jump to one of the repos here so I can show some screenshots of that while I speak to it. Super interesting. I use it myself for my app directory. It's how I manage self-host apps and all the information. I plug it in. It's all stored in a database, but I can access and edit and add things directly from the spreadsheet-like interface. Each of them come with their own API, so I also have scripts to interact with the data within the database without having to manually go in and write things myself. So notably, Baserow, one of the bigger ones, added some new data sync integrations with other platforms. I think this is super helpful for people who already have data living elsewhere, might not be ready for it to live in a new platform that they've deployed. That's there. And then NocoDB would be the other one. Again, this is the one I'm leveraging, but they're all great. I don't necessarily want to seem biased towards one. Really exciting for me, at least, is they dropped Infinite Scroll. So previously, they the interface for NocoDB was limited to pages of predefined numbers of rows, which for a lot of people who are using platforms like this, you usually just don't have only 5 or 10 rows in a table. In the instance of my app directory, I have close to 700 apps. And so it's really nice to be able to just jump right into the interface, scroll down, find the app I'm looking for, versus having to page through and figure out where, guess where I need to be alphabetically. They do have search functionality, but sometimes it's just easier to try and navigate your way through that. So that's what we have in terms of updates for no-code databases. And then lastly, just want to give a shout out to LLDAP, which is actually short for Lightweight LDAP. LDAP being a protocol for user management and authentication. This is well known in the self-hosted universe or world because it's essentially a really straightforward way of implementing LDAP without all the complexities of managing that come along with managing an instance of LDAP. And so a lot of people have this deployed as a way to get all the benefits of LDAP without needing to know all the intricacies and difficulties of running an LDAP server. I personally have this deployed. It connects easily with things like Authelia, if you're using that for single sign-on, and a whole slew of other things that can connect with LDAP authentication. I know there's a plugin for Jellyfin to do that. They released a fairly large update this week as well that brings some more LDAP features. Again, while also keeping it simple for those who either don't know LDAP or just don't want the complexities of, you know, all the headaches they have at work from LDAP, that they don't want those to translate to their home server as well. So that's out there. Would certainly encourage everyone to check that out. Shifting to breaking changes, have 3 or 4 as usual. Adventure Log, just talked about LLDAP, has some breaking changes. If you're using that, be sure to check that out before you deploy it. There's another Sweetrix web analytics software that's popped up, I think, recently. I think it's relatively young yet, that requires some database migration steps. But the one thing I do want to call out in the breaking changes section this week is Postgres version 12 did reach end of life this week on the 14th Thursday, which as of the time of recording would have been yesterday. So if you're using Postgres 12, consider updating. You won't be getting all the normal security and maintenance updates that you would expect to receive with the major Postgres versions. If you're stuck on version 12 because there's an application that requires it, reach out to the maintainers and developers, encourage them, given this information, to maybe look at supporting some of the higher versions of Postgres. I think the most recent version is 17, which is fairly new. Jumping into new software, we had maybe 10 or 15 new platforms pop up this week, which I think is a standard amount. Again, it's really cool to see how frequently new software is developed in the self-hosted world, especially because a lot of people are just doing this in their free time. I do expect the amount of new software developed to increase in the coming months. I think a lot of people are doing this in the winter as it tends to get colder, or at least if you're in part of the world where it gets colder, during this time of the year. But I think people tend to spend more time developing and giving software some love when they're unable to get outside and do some of the things they're used to doing then. So a couple things stuck out to me. CouchTube, I think I had found through Reddit self-hosted subreddit, really cool front end for YouTube. It's a self-hosted front end where essentially you deploy the application and then you point it to some YouTube channels and it recreates or rebuilds a live TV channel experience, which I find really cool. It's one of those things that's like, do I need it? No. Is it cool? And am I probably going to use it just because of that cool factor? Yes. There are a lot of YouTube front ends out there. I thought this was a unique take on it. Normally, front ends are normally built around privacy, and there might be a privacy aspect to this, but I think this is just a really novel way of using a self-hosted platform to do something that might not be easily available today. And then the other thing I wanted to call out, the other new platform, is Medication Assistant. And again, this doesn't necessarily do anything novel in that it is an application for tracking medications. And there are probably other tracking platforms that exist today that might do this, but this obviously has some features or is presented in a way that really lends itself to how someone might track their medications. And so you can see the interface in the GitHub repo. You can see all the medications people are taking or this particular person is taking. It has reminders for reorders. It has schedules for upcoming medication. And I just think this is really cool because if I'm sitting down and making a list of the things, the self-hosted platforms that don't exist today that I think I would enjoy, this is one of those platforms that I don't think I would think of off the top of my head. But looking back at it, once I've seen it, it's, hey, this is really cool. I think this is novel. There are probably a fair amount of people who would find something like this helpful. And it's one of those, I didn't know I needed it type of platforms. So if you need it or if you don't need it, I would still recommend checking it out. If at the very least for inspiration, if you're thinking about other projects that you'd like to see or develop yourself, it might encourage you to think a little more outside the box as far as what's possible and what self-hosted and open source software can really lend themselves to. So a couple new directory apps added to my self-hosted app directory this week. Again, seeing a lot of backup tools, which are common, popping up in the companion directory, which are applications that are complementary to self-hosted platforms. So in this instance, Lazy Warden is a backup tool for Bitwarden. Lazy Warden is not new. Many of you might be using it already. It was new to me. I added to the directory this week. A bunch of other cool ones popped up. Some folks on Mastodon pointed a few out when I posted an article earlier this week. So encourage you to check them out if you're looking for something new to spin up this weekend. I also dropped a new post this week in my alternative series. I'm slowly building a series of posts that outline alternatives for popular hosted services. So I've done Notion in the past. I've done Airtable. I've done Google Analytics. This week I posted an article on alternative RSS readers or aggregators. So big ones would be Feedly and Eno Reader, I think, would be probably arguably two of the most popular. There are a ton of great options here. Fresh RSS, MiniFlux, Tiny RSS make the list. Again, this isn't necessarily a review of these platforms, but more of just a discovery tool for people who are looking to make the jump and might not be happy with my directory or the awesome self-hosted list because they don't normally provide a whole lot of color around these platforms and really just list, hey, here it is, go check it out if you want. I try to provide a little context as I go through these articles to chat a little bit about what the pros and cons of each of them and what their strengths are. So if you're looking for an RSS reader, I recommend checking this out for sure. And then lastly, a lot of great community content this week. Again, I have another article on switching away from Pocket. And I say that again because of all the news and the happenings around the Omnivore acquisition. A lot of people starting to make this jump from hosted read later bookmarking services. This was a really interesting article about someone who had previously used Pocket and just kind of their thought process as they went through all of the alternatives that exist for a service like Pocket and how they came to the software they ultimately landed on. In the news section above, you may have mentioned, I didn't talk to it, but Backblaze dropped their drive stats for this quarter, their hard drive stats. Another reader reached out to me with this article they had post that they're calling Drive Bootcamp, testing hard drives for their NAS, which I think is really interesting. The article is a little cheeky. You can see here in the subtitle, yes, I like testing my hard drives. No, it's not a weird hobby. I love articles like this. If you have any and you'd love to share, you'd love to see shared in the newsletter, please share with me. I think it just offers a lot of cool insights into how people think when they're deploying things in their home lab that maybe I might not think of because I just have a different way of thinking as I deploy my own things. Another cool article on Samba speeds, Samba transfer speeds when using Tailscale for this particular user. This particular Windows user, I should say, they do have a fix in the article. So if you're experiencing that, recommend checking that out. And then this was an interesting article that made its rounds throughout the community earlier this week on someone's experience deploying their own software, their own service online on very low powered hardware and not a whole lot of money, and just what their experience was. I will say from the article, it was a success, but it was a little funny after the fact seeing them share it on places like Reddit, which ended up being its downfall. The traffic crashed the website from Reddit from sharing this particular article. So when they initially wrote the article, they had success deploying it. But the traffic from the article sharing their experience is what ended up crashing the website, which I'm not criticizing, has happened to me before. Just chuckled to myself as I added that to the newsletter this week. So that being said, there's other good content in this week's newsletter that I don't typically cover. Some YouTube videos, again, recommended checking out Byte Stash, which was this week's content spotlight. Otherwise, thank you again for bearing with me this week as I'm flying solo. I hope this was still helpful and you found this useful. If you have any feedback or criticism, I'm more than happy to hear that in the comment section, or if you want to reach out to me separately through my site's contact forms. I want to build this series into something that people find helpful, useful, and interesting, and not just necessarily a straight reread of the newsletter. So if there are things I'm doing or not doing that you'd like to see, please reach out and let me know. Otherwise, I will continue trying to rotate guests in the coming weeks. If you're a software developer who has a big update coming and you'd like to talk about it on this series, I'm happy to squeeze you in. Again, was trying to get the Link Warden developer in for this week's Link Warden update. So anything like that, I'm happy to accommodate if it can help you give the software you're developing some love. So feel free to reach out. Otherwise, appreciate everyone's time and the audience we have today, and have a good weekend.